Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Black Brick by Dan Decker.
Welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. We are continuing to read Black Brick. Last week we read... No, Beltran caught wind of this before it got too far. He's also managed to suppress a video or two from the phones of bystanders. We both owe him big time. Come quickly. He's changed his mind about having us work the Martinez case. Shannon hung up. So much for a quiet evening of reflection. There was no way that I'd left a fingerprint. I had worn gloves the last time I had cleaned it. I always did. I did not realize that I was sweating until I wiped my brow and pulled away a moist hand. Growling, I stood up. Martinez could have lifted my fingerprints before defecting. He probably had the fingerprints of all of us. Payne could have planted a gun on the train that led back to me. I threw my tablet in my bag and left the library. As I walked back to Black Brick, I tried to imagine going to a study group, or having the option of getting mixed up with a girl like Chris. It might be nice to date somebody who was not able to kill me with her bare hands. Try as I might, I could not picture that kind of life. 15. Steeling myself for what lay on the other side, I opened the door to the conference room and entered. Shannon, Cherry, and Tom were already sitting around the table. Beltran was pacing. My eyes locked onto Shannon first, and she gave me a small frown. You did not think it was important to mention that you lost a pistol, Beltran snarled. Doesn't matter, I said. The pain flared in my back as I sat down, and my chest felt like I had large leaden weights fastened to my ribs. I always wear the latex covers. That had been one of the principal rules from the very beginning, and I had never broken it. I always wore gloves when cleaning my guns, and was religious about changing the latex fingerprint covers that I wore on my fingers. Every morning, I would peel off the set I'd worn the previous day and put on new ones. This is a setup, I said. In the report, did it mention two pistols found in the train car? When we screw up, we admit it. Beltran grimaced, dodging my question. I could tell that I had scored a point. There had been two pistols. I lost a pistol, but it should not matter. It did not have my prints. Martinez gave Payne a pistol to plant. My words hung in the air. Usually I would have apologized by now, because that's what Beltran was looking for, but I had been given enough trouble for how the train incident had gone down that I just could not bring myself to utter the words. You should never lose a pistol, Beltran said, much of his anger dissipating. He picked up a remote and pressed a button. When the screen came on, it showed a picture of Martinez with an older man. We have an emergency, and unfortunately you're the only team I have available. This picture was taken earlier this morning. We caught this by accident. Neither Martinez nor the old man was the subject of the surveillance. Who was? I asked. Somebody else. Beltran pointed to the man beside Martinez. This man has access to the old Diagon headquarters. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, is that Martinez knows about an operative I have at that location. Nothing has happened to her yet, but she's close enough to finishing her mission that we are going to complete it tonight. Hopefully, whatever Martinez has planned won't go down before that. We cannot allow Martinez to compromise this mission. Beltran met my gaze. This cannot go down like the train. I growled, both because of the guilt and all the condemning looks I was receiving from the others on my team. I was grateful that Shannon was staring at the table instead of at me. The death count was up to 27. I had given in and checked the news on my way back to Black Brick. Several drawings had been made of Shannon and me, but they were nondescript enough to not be alarming. I was relieved that Beltran had been able to keep some of the videos and pictures from coming out, but I was afraid that it was just a matter of time before others did. The conflicting accounts of the survivors alleviated some of the worry I felt, but none of the guilt. This is a very simple mission. Beltran's eyes bored into me. It made me want to punch him. Protect Agent Lisa Hooper as she copies files from the Diagon data center. Nobody knows we're coming, and passing security will be a breeze. Zero body count. Can I be more clear? Tom smirked. Careful. Jake may take that as a personal challenge. What are you not telling us? Cherry asked. Beltran looked at Cherry, cracks appearing in his forced calm demeanor. You're reaching the end of your slack. Push me further. See what happens. His voice held no emotion, and he spoke quietly, but the words hung in the air, the latent threat all but spoken. Who's Lisa? Tom asked. She's a professional, and you will all obey her as you obey me. At last in order, I understand, Tom said, with a mock salute. Shannon and Lisa go in, Beltran said. The rest of you wait as lookout and backup. The instructions bothered me. Cherry was right. There was something that Beltran was not telling us. If it was a simple pickup mission, why did he want three of us sitting in the car twiddling our thumbs instead of providing backup on site? I don't like being partnered with someone I don't know, Shannon said. It's bad enough we have Jake, Tom said, who has a tendency to leave things in flames. But at least I know what to expect. Lisa's unknown. She could do anything. Cherry and Tom, Beltran said through clenched teeth, you are dismissed. Surprise at the dismissal registered on Cherry's face. She blinked, her face frozen. Tom took it better, but not by much. They stood, took their things, and left without another word. I wish that I could keep Cherry out of this, Beltran said once they were gone, rubbing the sides of his head with his hands. His eyes gave away the lie. That was it. This is what was bothering me. Our mission was not about helping Lisa. No, this whole thing was about Cherry. Beltran wanted Martinez to think that we were there for Lisa, but in reality he was counting on Martinez taking advantage of the opportunity to grab Cherry. My bet was that Beltran had reason to believe Martinez was going to be there tonight and wanted to dangle a carrot in front of him. You're using her as bait, I said. Just take care of her. If anything happens to Cherry. Shannon pushed her lips together and narrowed her eyes, but did not finish her sentence. I thought back to how Shannon had rushed headlong into Payne and his men to protect Cherry. I hoped that Shannon had learned her lesson, but I doubted it. The next time Cherry was in danger, Shannon would act rashly to protect her. The bruise on my chest was a good reminder of that. If I took too deep of a breath, my chest filled with pain, I would not forget that lesson anytime soon. Beltran's words were forced. We have a job to do. I don't have time to worry about Cherry, or either of you. Get it done, and get back here.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.